As I See It, der Wissenschaftspodcast des Saarland Informatics Campus.
Hello and welcome to the first English episode of As I See It, the new science podcast here at Saarland Informatics Campus. If you're interested in topics related to computer science and information technology, you've come to the right place. We present the latest in computer science research in exciting and informative discussions with the researchers here on our campus. My name is Philipp Zapfschramm. I'm responsible for science communication at SIC, and I'm very happy to welcome Saarland University's machine learning professor, Isabel Valera, to today's episode about fairness in machine learning. Hello, Isabel. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, good morning.
Well, as I already mentioned, today's episode is on fairness in machine learning. Machine learning is a way of developing artificial intelligence that has presented some astounding results in the last couple of years and is thus now used in many different applications covering a broad range of fields. But a lot of those applications affect us humans in pretty sensitive matters, which is why fairness should play a major role in the development of such machine learning systems. So this episode is about the research into what fairness means in the context of machine learning and how to achieve it using scientific methods. But before we get into the details, I would like to introduce you to our listeners so they know who they are dealing with today. Isabel, you're a professor for computer science here at Saarland University since 2020, where you head the machine learning group. Your research focuses on developing machine learning methods that are flexible, robust, interpretable, and fair. And in 2022, you won one of the most prestigious research grants in the world, a starting grant from the European Research Council. And this grant is endowed with 1.5 million euros over 5 years and funds your research project entitled Society-Aware Machine Learning, the Paradigm Shift Demanded by Society to Trust Machine Learning. And in this project, you research methods to make machine learning kind of more beneficial for us all. But now enough about the science. As always, before a recording, I asked the professor, in this case you, for a fun fact about yourself. And maybe let's put it this way. Everybody who has seen you on campus might suspect that you're a dog person because when the other people would take their lunch break, you can be seen walking your dogs. But what not everyone knows is that your dogs took a major part in your decision to stay in Germany and granting us the pleasure to have you here as a professor. So can you maybe go a little bit into detail about that?
Yeah, sure. I'm definitely a dog lover. We have my dog today at the office. I bring him very often, and I had a former dog before who was one of the main reasons why we decided to stay here. I was deciding between the UK and Germany for a while. And one of a driving factor for actually deciding for Germany, anyways, I'm a foreigner in both countries, was that the quality of life here is very good and also very dog friendly. So for me, it was a big plus that I could bring my dog to the office. There is always a forest nearby my workplace, and therefore I can go for walks in the middle of the day. I can take him in the bus, in the train, to restaurants. So it's basically part of the family that I can take with me almost everywhere. So that was definitely a major factor.
So, well, I guess we have to thank your dogs for bringing you here. And another fun fact about you, just a freebie from me, is that the machine learning group has a really great coffee. So everybody remember this. Okay, then let's dive into the matter and start at the beginning. Could you explain to our listeners what is machine learning and where could one encounter a machine learning system in everyday life?
Well, I would say machine learning is, in simple terms, a subfield of artificial intelligence which learns from data how to solve tasks. And every day in our life, I think we encounter, almost everybody encounters machine learning in their everyday life, even without realizing. So as long as you pick up a smartphone on your hand, basically there are many ML or AI systems running behind, for example, spam filters, which are very necessary, at least for my inbox, email inbox. There is also in navigation systems when I always get lost. So I definitely use navigation systems for going from one place to another. All the way to something I used almost every day in Germany, which is automatic translation, because my German, it's embarrassingly not that good yet. That are a few examples, but there are many more, I would say.
So that shows that machine learning is quite ubiquitous today and everybody uses it, maybe even without knowing it. So this leads to the fact that machine learning is very often used synonymously with the term artificial intelligence, especially in everyday discussions. So, but there are also other forms of AI that differ quite drastically from machine learning. Can you maybe talk a little bit about these differences?
Yeah, sure. So I would say, I mean, AI in general is a field where we try to automate some tasks or some actions, right? So I think in the traditional or in the classical way, it was more common before that whenever you have to solve a task, the programmer would program directly a set of rules towards to solve that task and in a very explicit way. While you can think of machine learning systems more of a way of learning by example. So you collect a lot of data, which are examples of how the task was solved, given an input, how the outcome for the task was. And then rather than to program rules on how to solve the task, you basically allow the system to learn by example.
So one could say that a programmer who programmed artificial intelligence system by telling it those are the rules you have to follow knows better what is going on in his system than somebody who just gave it a lot of data and said, learn.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. So there are pros and cons on both, right? So whenever you have a very explicit programming of how you want to solve the tasks, then the capabilities of the systems are limited to what you have programmed and therefore to actually the knowledge of the individual or the group of individuals programming it. While when you give just data and examples, you lose the transparency of how the task is going to be solved. And this is one of the main challenges, among others, from machine learning. But at the same time, it scales up much better. You can just need to collect data and give examples to be able to solve new tasks. So it's much more scalable at the end of the day. So, and I think this is one of the main reasons why machine learning is by now very often used as a synonymous of AI, because many of the systems that we have been talking before or the examples in our daily life, they rely on data to some extent, if not fully.
Okay, and now why is it that fairness seems, at least to me, to be of particularly interesting factor for machine learning researchers and not necessarily in other forms of AI? And connected to this, can you maybe give a short definition of what is meant by the term fairness in the context of machine learning?
Well, I would say that scalability, as we were talking, is one of the main driving factors. So as you get machine learning systems in our everyday life of almost everybody, right? These systems have the potential to help a lot of individuals or change their life for the good, but also introduce some potential harms or disparities or inequalities.
Can you give an example for systems?
So, for example, it's very common by now that if you apply to a very big company, you submit your CV and the first pre-processing of your CV is done automatically by an algorithm based on data. And it can very well be that there are some stereotypes or some biases in the system that might neglect valid candidates simply because they don't look like traditional or the standard worker at the company. And there will not be any human being looking at these CVs because it's a pre-filtering. So there is only one human looking at CVs once the they have passed the filter, right? So, and this is one example, but there are examples in lending, in admission, there are examples in insurance. So it's simply that the scale of these systems is so large that we, and they are being used to make decisions that may have consequences, that we definitely need to make sure that, first of all, they are in agreement with our legal systems, with our laws, but also that they are aligned with the values that we have as a society as a whole. And because of the lack of transparency at times that we were talking before, because we don't know exactly how these systems solve the task, they give you an output or a decision, but not how they have arrived to that decision, it becomes particularly challenging in this setting. And very often when we talk about fairness in machine learning, although it's broadening up, we refer to how the translation of existing anti-discrimination laws, which exist in almost any Occidental countries, or if not on all of them, and how they translate into these systems. So how do we make sure that that the systems don't discriminate, for example, depending on the context, based on gender or race or religion, et cetera, et cetera.
So you already used the term bias, meaning that there are some biases, for example, in the data that are not obvious to the machine learning developer that could cause unfairness in the system. Can you maybe tell us some more of these common pitfalls that cause unfairness that a machine learning developer could fall into?
Yeah, so definitely the first one that most of the people talk about is the data, that basically the data will represent any biases or stereotypes that we have in society. Not only that, but also how the data is collected. So there might be some process in the collection that might bias the data. But it's not only that, is that even if the systems learn from data, there are some design choices that we need to incorporate there. And very often our own biases when we design these systems may translate to the final systems that we design. And another source of problems very often that I have encountered are assumptions. So every time that you want to design a machine learning system, there is some statistical assumptions that you are making about the system, the data, a lot of things. And actually some of these assumptions, if not fulfilled, may also end up in amplification or introduction of new bias or unfairnesses in the system.
Yeah, so it's really a minefield kind of where you have to keep your eyes open for a lot of different places where you could even unintentionally just introduce biases.
That is definitely the case. And there has been, if you look at the past newspapers, there are a few examples. And I think that also says that we should not only look at the data per se, but also at the groups of machine learners or people that design these systems, how diverse they are, because very often you are blind to some biases if they don't directly affect you. And there has been already several works, not in the ML, but in general, that show that the need of diversity. And I think in this particular setting, the need of diversity in groups of people working in AI is very important, because you get new perspectives that are necessary, such that if we want systems to work at the societal level, we need to somehow also have society represented in the design of these systems.
So now, after learning about biases and the problems that can arise through them in machine learning systems, we will continue with our segment SIC Nerd Talk, in which you, our listeners, can tell us about your research. But the best thing about it is you don't have to worry about making it simple so everybody can understand, because we have a professor for that in the interview. You just tell us if you would talk to your scientific peers, and then the professor will explain to us what you're doing in your research. And today's Nerd Talk comes from Ayan Majumdar. He is a member of Isabel's Machine Learning Group and a researcher at the Max Planck Institute for Software Systems. So let's have a listen to what Ayan is researching.
Nerd Talk. Hi, my name is Oyon Mojumdar, and I'm member of the machine learning group of Professor Isabel Valera, and I'm also a student at the Max Planck Institute for Software Systems. So our project on fairness considered scenarios where the data we train our models on is skewed and suffers from selection bias, where a historical policy made biased decisions. In these cases, we cannot be optimal by just training an ML predictor and deploying it. Instead, we need a model that is, one, trained online, so it is updated across multiple time steps as the model makes decisions and we collect more data. And two, it is stochastic, so it should have randomness in its decisions to ensure exploration. However, such a training process can be unstable, where the system fails to achieve stable accuracy and fairness over multiple time steps. So in this project, we introduced a new online decision-making model, FairAll, that is accurate, fair, and stable. FairAll's novelty comes from its use of unlabeled data in making decisions, for example, the data of people we rejected in the process. Now, while existing methods throw this unlabeled data away, we show that this data can be helpful and lead to a policy that has better stability alongside higher accuracy and fairness.
Wow, okay, that sounded really complicated. Isabel, can you explain for me and to our listeners what Ion is doing?
Yeah, so as I said, usually, for example, let's go to the example of university admission, which is very close to me, actually, and to many people probably listening to this podcast. So let's imagine that we have the performance or how many of the students that we admitted in the past, they graduated, and we can have any other performance metric, but let's focus on that. Right? So the problem is that when we, in general, we know that if we would know the probability of success of a candidate, whether they are going to graduate in the given time for their studies, basically we could make a decision rule that would say, okay, if your probability of graduating is greater than 60%, then we accept you, otherwise we reject you. The problem is that the applicants, they come with a CV, but they don't come with a probability of success, right? So what the traditional machine learning methods do is try to predict this probability of success and then decide according to this decision rule I just said. The problem of that is something that the literature have neglected for a very long time, is that when we collect this data, you only have success performance for those candidates that you accepted in the past. So this is what I was saying as skewed data, because there is a selection bias and you only get to see the performance of those candidates that you admitted. Mm-hmm. But if in your original policy there was a bias in the sense that you were only admitting candidates that had an internship or that came from a top university or from a subset of specific countries, basically you can reinforce this bias and even amplify to end up in systems that are highly unfair because you don't even give the chance or the opportunity mm-hmm. to candidates from the countries or the social demographics that you missed out. And this is where the randomness or the stochasticity that Ian was talking about is important, because first of all, you need some exploration. You need to, from time to time, slowly give chances to people that maybe you have a higher uncertainty, such that you collect information over time and then keep correcting such that eventually you admit everybody that deserves mm-hmm. such a position. Of course, the challenges come from the fact that if you admit many people to the university that are not going to be able to graduate, that can be harmful for them, right? So you need a level of stochasticity or randomness. You need to give a chance to people that maybe they are not going to graduate, but at the same time, you need to minimize that. So that is some of the challenges that we tackle, and how we tackle that is by learning, first of all, decision policies that are not deterministic. Mm-hmm. So it's not if your probability is like that, then you are accepted, but more even if with a small probability, sometimes you might get accepted. And second, we use information also of those candidates that we maybe didn't accept in the past, so we don't have performance behavior, but you might be able to, in terms of their background, to have some sort of similarity such that they inform you whether these candidates, despite of not having information about their performance in sociodemographic, they might look similar in terms of their grades or their courses that they took to those that you admitted, and therefore invest these chances on those people that are more likely to succeed.
Wow, okay, that sounds like really important work. Thanks for explaining. If you want to take part in our SSC Nerd Talk, just send an audio clip of about 1 minute to podcast@saarland-informatics-campus.de and we might listen to your research in one of the coming episodes. Now, let's continue with the questions. Are there any challenges or obstacles that particularly stand out and make it difficult to achieve fairness in machine learning?
Well, I would say there are many. It's hard to decide for one, but one of the ones I feel particularly engaged is very often we see fairness as, as I said, as a very narrow view, which is discrimination on how the decisions made by an algorithm affect particular individuals from some socio-demographic groups. But we forget that fairness, it's a much broader concept, and the impact of these systems is at a scale, so it affects in many ways. And we need to stop thinking of fairness just as discrimination, as a constraint to, for example, business revenues, but more on, we need to think of fairness as how, what is what we want from these systems and how do we want them to be embedded in society such that they are beneficial not only for the companies that develop them, but for everybody, all the stakeholders involved.
Okay, this is a great transition to the next question because, as I already said in the beginning, in 2022, you received an ERC starting grant entitled Society Aware Machine Learning. And so obviously also the European Union sees fairness in machine learning as a problem which is worth millions in funding to solve. So can you maybe explain the general idea of your grant project?
Yeah, definitely. So I would say it's moving or broadening up the scope of the traditional fairness in machine learning. And so far, what we usually have is that the system has an owner, for example, a big tech company, which has designed the system to maximize a proxy for business revenue. And then very often, some of the societal or ethical concerns around it, they appear more as a constraint to that. So we say, okay, I want to maximize profit, but I need to fulfill the anti-discrimination laws. What I argue in this project for is that every time we design a system, there are different relevant stakeholders involved. For example, in the admission, there is the university, there is the state of Saarland, there are the professors, there are the students. So there are many people represented there. And each of them, they have their own objective towards the university. And what I believe we should be doing is when designing these systems, we should try to jointly maximize the benefits for all the relevant stakeholders. And of course, there are going to be trade-offs between them, so we should explore them before we deploy and try to enable an informed discussion such that all the stakeholders can arrive to an agreement.
Okay, so if I understand it correctly, it's basically about not forgetting about certain groups which might be affected by a machine learning system.
Definitely, it's about having a discussion. So let's say we want to design a system. Each of us wants something out of the system. Mm-hmm. So let's design a system that is beneficial for everybody and find a functionality that fulfills to the extent possible the needs of all the stakeholders.
Okay, and so how do you tackle these problems in your research? How do you try to overcome these aforementioned challenges?
There are quite a few. So it triggers the problem of data. Right now, most of the data that we have collected has this owner perspective where the target variable has to do with a proxy of revenue. So it's hard to see how do we actually measure benefits also for the rest of the stakeholders. And more importantly, also methodologically, what I try to tackle is that in general, when we design a system, we usually optimize it for one objective, money. And now if you have different objectives, how do you do it for all of them? And how do you navigate the trade-offs before deployment? Because we shouldn't wait until deployment to see what are the harms and then try to mitigate them. My opinion is that we should first think of what are the potential harms, try to get an estimate of them, and then design the system from scratch such that the benefits but are maximized while the harms are minimized.
Yeah, so it's a paradigm shift. You're rethinking really the development of those systems from the ground up. Now we're slowly coming to the end of our discussion, and now I want to ask, what are the consequences society might face if machine learning systems are not designed with the needs of relevant stakeholders and subsequently fairness in mind? I know it's a broad question and maybe a bit speculative, but anyways.
I think it's very hard to say because systems are evolving so rapidly that, yeah, it's hard to even see what they are going to be doing and therefore what the pros and their cons are going
to
be.
Or maybe even to imagine what they might be able to do
exactly.
In the future.
Exactly. But definitely there is something, I think there is a constant there, which is there is the potential of further increasing inequalities. And the inequalities have very downstream effect, economic effects, but also mental health effects, general health. So it's really, I would say, that's why I also focus a lot on fairness, because inequalities are triggering society to a point that personally myself, I wouldn't feel comfortable with. And I think it's one of the major challenges because it's a technology that is, at the end, it is controlled, are only beneficial for a very small subset of the population at the planet. That is not the direction I would like the research I do to go.
And now, the last question for today. What do you see as the future of fair machine learning? Are there any emerging trends or technologies that could help achieve this fairness?
I think, as I said, at the end of the day, fairness is a bit of a societal agreement. So there is not a ground truth fairness, objective fairness notion. It's a societal agreement of what is what we want in society, what we consider in society to be fair. So, and this is a discussion that needs to happen and it's already happening. But it's going to be, definitely it's not just data. So, because we are going to need to give in a structured way what we consider to be fair, what we don't consider to be fair, not just as data, but as a set of rules or agreements or even policies. So I would say that probably a combination of data-driven or machine learning with more traditional or even new paradigms like causality in machine learning or planning or the traditional AI systems all combined such that we can get the benefits of all of them is something that I believe we are going to move forward to.
So this is, I want to stress again, which I think is a really important point you just made, that fairness in AI is not something that a computer scientist discovers and then, yeah, we have fair systems now, but it's a societal process that needs to be dealt with. And so to all our listeners, get involved in this discussion and come to Saarland University and come to Isabel Valera's machine learning group. This is our episode for today. And if you like our podcast and don't want to miss another episode or want to listen to the other episodes which are already online, just subscribe to us on the popular podcast platforms or visit us under saarland-informatics-campus.de/podcast. Isabel, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to us today and see you next time.
Thank you.
As I See It, der Wissenschaftspodcast des Saarland Informatics Campus. Authentisch, spannend. Das Neueste aus der Informatikforschung.